Bob Dylan fans are different than most music fans. Maybe it's because he's been around so long. He's been a cultural icon for over 50 years, reinventing himself over and over again. The protest singer, the reclusive rock star, the Christian convert, the never-ending tour. In David Kinney's new book, The Dylanologists, Adventures in the Land of Bob, Kinney gives a history of Bob Dylan, but mostly it's about those Bob Dylan obsessives. Oh, and David Kinney admits he's one of them.
People ask me, why are you a Dylan fan, or how can you be a Dylan fan? You know, they can't get past that voice. And, you know, even in high school, I remember I tried to put on Subterranean Homesick Blues on a boombox, and everybody just lost their minds. They hated it.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, batch out laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10.
And, you know, today my neighbors will see Dylan on TV. He'll do the Grammys or something like that. And they see this sort of wizened old man with a creaky voice, and they just don't understand.
You quote rock critic Greil Marcus as saying that obsessive Dylan fans are the worst. Do you agree?
You know, I think he's talking about a particular class, and I think he might even be talking about a particular individual. You know, we get a bad reputation in part because the first Dylanologist was a guy by the name of A.J. Weberman, who went through Dylan's trash searching for a Rosetta Stone of sorts that would help him unlock Dylan's lyrics, that would help him figure out the secret meaning that was in these songs, or that he felt was in these songs. And he went to great lengths and came up with some really unconventional ideas, to say the least. You know, that if you listen to the songs, you can see that Dylan was a heroin addict, that he had HIV, and now he's come up with this theory that Dylan is a right-wing racist, and that Blowin' in the Wind is about lynching blacks. So, you know, AJ sort of coined the phrase, but also gave it its bad name.
Dave Kinney is telling us about his book, The Dylanologists, Adventures in the Land of Bob. What has Bob Dylan's reaction been to these super fans, these Dylanologists?
Well, you know, understandably, he's aggravated and frustrated and amused by turns, I think. Largely, it seems to be aggravated. He's you know, told us to get a life. He said that we're obsessing about all the wrong things. He says that, you know, we shouldn't be digging so deeply into his lyrics. And yet, Dylan is a guy who started out as a musical super fan. You know, he comes to New York City as a teenager in 1961, and one of the first things he does is go to find Woody Guthrie and play songs for him and befriend him. And, you know, he had become at that point sort of a Woody Guthrie clone in a lot of ways.
Hey, hey, Woody Guthrie, I wrote you a song about a funny old world that's a-coming along. Seems sick and it's hungry, it's tired and it's torn. It looks like it's a-dying and it's hardly been born.
And so he certainly understands the sentiment, but I think he's mostly he's frustrated that people have asked him sort of what it means, you know, what's it all about? And you know, the argument on his end is, you know, I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm the last person who should explain it to you. You know, the songs aren't necessarily about me, and you shouldn't be looking for me in the songs. What you should be looking for is what the songs say to you, about you, what they do for you. And that's the compact between artist and audience.
And yet Bob Dylan tours endlessly. He's continuously on the road. He continues to put out music for an audience. Does any of his music kind of touch on this ambivalence that he appears to feel toward Dylanologists, toward people who are so obsessed with him?
Certainly some people have searched for that sort of thing. There is a great moment in a song that came out in 1997 on Time Out of Mind called Highlands. And it's a very long song with this sort of middle section where he goes into a restaurant or a diner in Boston, and there's a waitress there. There's nobody else in there but the waitress, and she asks him to draw a picture. And he says, I don't have my pencil. I don't have my drawing pad. And so she gives him a napkin, and she pulls a pencil from behind her ear and hands it to him. So he scribbles a few lines, and she looks at it, and she says, that doesn't look a thing like me.
She pulls one out from behind her ear. She says, all right, now go ahead. Drop me, I'm staying right here. I'll make a few lines and I'll show it for her to see. As she takes a napkin and throws it back and says, that don't look a thing like me.
And so, you know, some people have sort of viewed that as kind of a wry comment on the confrontations throughout his career. You know, there's been so many confrontations, so much sort of disappointment on both sides. You know, you have fans who are upset that he stopped writing, you know, protest songs in the early 60s. You have fans who are upset that he went electric, that he went Christian, whatever. You know, now you have people who are upset that he's on the road so much, and it seems to take such a great toll on his voice.
Some of these obsessive Dylanologists don't just want to know about Bob Dylan. They want to, mostly wealthy people, they want to have anything that's had any contact with him, right down to his baby chair. Could you give an example of that kind of person?
Well, I mean, I don't know that the high chair was all that expensive. Although the same guy who bought his high chair now owns his very first childhood home in Duluth. This was the home that he came to when he was born and lived for the first 5 or 6 years of his life, and came up for sale on eBay, and this guy bought it and has restored it, actually, has spent a lot of money fixing the roof, rebuilding the porch, consulting some pictures from the 40s to make sure that it's historically accurate, and wants to get it listed on the National Register of Historic Places. He's also moved to Hibbing, Dylan's other hometown, the hometown where he spent the rest of his childhood. And he's moved in right next to Dylan's old home there and has been hoping for a number of years now that the current occupants will sell it to him.
It's so interesting that all this adoration is of a musical artist who even his most diehard fans will confess sometimes really mails it in on stage, does terrible shows.
He's definitely an acquired taste. You know, the voice, it's funny. The voice, we spend our whole life kind of defending it against people who don't see it at all. They can't see it. You can put on any record you want to put on, and they don't see how expressive it is. They don't see how unusual. I mean, they might see how unusual it is, but they don't sort of see that expressiveness that really moves us, the emotion that's in it. It might not be technically perfect, but it moves you. Now you're at this point where the voice is almost without tone. You know, it's a rasp often. You know, he can still croon with the best of them when he wants to. And so that's, you know, that's kind of an amazing thing that voice is even getting to the hardcore fans. And so you have people who have kind of lost the thread. You know, they've listened to Dylan all their life. Some of these are biographers. Some of these are people who have written some millions of words about Dylan. And they don't really want to go and see him in concert anymore. They just don't. They don't get it, and that's a shame. I mean, I can still go, and you know, I need to be close. I need to be enveloped in the whole sound of the band and everything else, and be able to see. You know, a lot of people are basing their opinions, I think, on these recordings, these sort of like recordings that they hear at the concert, and that doesn't necessarily do his voice justice. But surely he has as many off days as on days.
Throw my ticket out the window. Throw my suitcase out there too.
Tonight, I'll be staying here with you. That's from Nashville Skyline. David Kinney is the author of The Dylanologist's Adventures in the Land of Bob.
Because tonight I'll be staying here with you. I
should have left this town this morning, but it was more than I could do.